Hey, everybody, and welcome to CBN the Voice. I'm CB, your hostess with the most guests. And boy, have we got a show for you. Tonight we are talking about pastors gone wild. And if you want to know what we mean, stick around. We'll be right back. George, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal, CB Booker, George, Spike Boy, Homie, Roger Hawkins, and Mimi Acosta. Coming live and direct from YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts, bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the Boys.
And welcome once again, everybody, CB and the Boys. Everybody, welcome in. The show tonight is going to be lit. We got a lot to talk about, so let's dive right on into it. Got my whole crew in the building, the fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta. What is up, Mimi?
I'm good. Let's just keep it rolling.
And the fabulous and fine, Mr. Roger Hawkins. What's up, Roger?
What's going on, family? It's been a good week so far. How y'all doing?
Good. And last but not least, the bad boy himself, Mr. George Spiker Boy. Oh, man.
Who that?
What's up, George?
We got a show for you. How's your mama doing?
Yes.
How's your whole damn family doing?
Yes, we do. So let's start the party off. Mimi, what are you sipping on tonight, girl? George, roll it.
Oh, hell yeah, let's do it. Hey. Okay, so I am sipping on some... Oh, wow, okay.
You don't want the intro? Mimi, you don't know what you're sipping on.
I was so excited to dive into this, right? Look, it's going to be one of those nights tonight, okay? So whatever happens on the show tonight, please do not charge it to our hearts. Do not charge it, not even to our heads. Just don't charge it to us at all. Anyway, so I'm having Smirnoff Ice tonight, guys. I've already opened this one because I opened the first one, and I was so happy to get into it that I got into it. So here's my beautiful glass of ice, of course, with my red straw. You guys know how I do it because I'm not going to drink it out the bottle. Like somebody I know over there is doing
something.
That's
right, keeping a gangster.
Keeping
a gangster.
That's all right. So that's what I'm having tonight, guys. That goes with anything and everything at all times today. And it's nice and sweet, too, so it can go with some cake. So, anywho, what are you having, Crystal?
Me, I am having Smirnoff Ice as well.
Screwdriver.
So, everyone, a toast to us. And the amazing thing.
We ain't been around the table yet. Roger, what you got going on over there?
That's what I'm talking about. She's toasting. I like it. She's toasting.
Okay,
I'm
going
to do a quick shout out.
Okay.
So, listen, a new friend of mine, a friend of a friend, actually, but definitely a new and dear friend of mine has a spirit line. It's been around for a little bit, and she came in from Atlanta, as a matter of fact, to Vegas this week. And my team and I got to sample some of her newest products. So the product is called Sukari. Now, it's an all-natural spirit line. She does vodka. She's doing whiskeys, things like that. Her name is Rose, her sister. I need y'all to support. Mimi, you've got a lot of access because she's in Atlanta, but she's everywhere.
Yeah.
She's in L.A.
Okay.
She's hooked up with a lot of celebrities and things like that. So, Ro, I'm shouting you out, girl. Real talk, though, you know me. Y'all know I'm kind of a vodka snob. I'm a liquor snob. I'm a whiskey snob, you know. But, again, all natural ingredients, things like that. No hangover, nothing like that. This goes hard. So, today, we've got some of my girl Rose Sukari. It's peach whiskey sour And here's the thing. Make no mistake about it. I don't know if y'all can see that, but that's 12.5%. Now, in a can, that's real. That's 100% real live right there. That ain't, you know, that 5% malt liquor. That's real. So anyway, I'm sipping on some Sicari from my homegirl, Ro, and her liquor line. So I'm definitely promoting and pushing. This is to you, lady.
Okay, that's what's up. George, what you got going on over there?
Well, this week I'm going to be polishing off, you know, the ever so faded famous vodka from Mr. P. Diddy himself.
Okay.
That passion Ciroc. That new passion Ciroc.
Beautiful.
I'm proud of you. It made it a few weeks. I'm proud of you.
Now
to us, to the magic and the amazing things that are coming our way.
Yes.
Salud.
Yes.
Salud.
All right. So there's a lot to talk about, guys. There's so much going on in the headlines. There's just so much. So Elijah had brought up something, and for all of our listeners and those viewing, you guys don't know, we have a group chat where we all interact and talk, and we come up with show ideas, and Roger came up with an idea, and he was bringing to our attention that corporal punishment is being brought back into the school system. So we want to hear from you guys, 516-418-5603. We want to know, what are you guys' thoughts on this? Give us a call, weigh in. But what do you guys think about the return of corporal punishment? My first take is it's a no-go. It didn't work the first time, and I don't think it's going to work the second time. As someone, I'm glad my kids are not in grade school anymore. I can just say that. Because if someone touched my children, it would be a problem. And I know that we should get back to the mentality it takes a village to raise a child. However, some of the villagers are up to no good, and they don't have the best intentions for your children. I've seen of late a lot of videos of teachers in the classroom bullying children, and that's wrong. So in my opinion, if we brought corporal punishment back, these teachers would take it to the extreme, and some child would end up very hurt, or it could be fatal. So that's
of
my
course, because the teachers nowadays are younger. You know what I'm saying? Just like the GGs and the papas are not like in their, you know what I'm saying, like 50s back in the day, 40s, 50s, 60s back in the day look like 40s, 50s, 60s,
yeah.
Like, okay, you know, your grandma. Nowadays, the 50s are looking like us. Just saying, you know? so you come at me with this little child chick talking, so I'm going to be like, you're going to get these paws, baby. You know, so
right.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
Interesting.
Agreed.
You know, I think it's interesting because I'm not going to say I'm on the fence. I mean, obviously we all did. We came up in the corporal punishment era. And of course, you know, our lovely state of Missouri is leading the way. Here's my thought. I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously they're trying to, you know, draw up a contract that can be, you know, worked around with everyone, you know, giving options to opt in and opt out. What I thought was funny was when we were coming up, my mother, my sister, and I are the two oldest, and then we've got the younger kids. But obviously what's going on for us, my mother would always give permission to spank the boys but not the girls. Not that they were going to need it, not that we would for that matter, but it was one of those, I guess you figure, you know, boys need a little bit, you know, more of a physical hand or things like that. And it was fine because guess what? I never got paddled, not through grade school. One time I will say, right as I was getting ready to leave and go to junior high, middle school or whatever, we were going to egg the principal's car. That was the thing to do. We got caught, so we all had to get swats. I was in the sixth grade. It was what it was. But, I mean, up to that point, never needed it because I feared my parents. Therefore, none of that. But, see, we all say that. Everyone says, I wish they would. My kids, you can't do that to my kids. Here's the thing. If you're doing your job, they're not going to have to call you. my mom wouldn't have a problem right. giving them permission to do that because I wasn't worried about the principal or the teacher. Shit, we were lucky if the teacher came at you with the yardstick and things like that. The one word you, the one phrase you can't utter, then I'm going to go call mm-hmm. your parents. See, that's what you couldn't do. So in my point, I think, you know what, here's why I say yes, because A, they're giving some parameters. And of course, you know, you can opt in or opt out and things like that. I do agree with what you guys are saying about the fact that mm-hmm. teachers are young, very inexperienced. I can't name how many children when my kids were in school, how many teachers were in their early 20s, didn't even have children or even younger siblings and they wanted to teach. And they just didn't have it in them. They weren't equipped. But there's something mm-hmm. does have to be done. You want to know why? Because I have relatives that are teachers, and you've got kids coming in threatening teachers, actually physically doing things to teachers and all that. So where does it begin? Obviously, parents at home can't do it. Now, there are a lot of single-parent families. There are a lot of whatever the case may be. But that's no excuse for letting the inmates run the asylum. Because when I was coaching, mm-hmm. when I was back in the school, I wasn't a teacher. I didn't want to be a teacher. I subbed a little bit, but I was a coach. I had a little bit different leash that I could put them on. But I would tell the kid in a minute, I was old school, I'll kick your ass and your father's if he comes up here. Like, you can't threaten or disrupt my practice. Let's get down. But you can't do that. Right. Your hands are tied when you're in the system and within the district and things like that. And I feel bad for teachers. So do I? Yeah, I think, you know, I'd like to test it back out and see what happens. The problem is you're right. Well, what we're thinking, you got kids now that may want to come up and shoot things up and do whatever, but I'm talking from the early stages. Like, you can't fix something that's broken in the teen years. But if you get kindergartners, second and third graders, and, you know, maybe you go back to the ruler on the hand or a SWAT, I'm for it. I'm here for it because something has to stop them. Fear, that type of fear is healthy. There's going to be repercussion. Not, you know, these kids will tell you right now, call my mother. She's not home. She won't answer or she'll come cuss you out. Mm-hmm. What third grader, what 8-year-old, what 7-year-old will come tell you that? So I don't know. Right. I'm open. I'm open to see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm open.
See, the thing about that too, if you have the kids dialing 911 and the parents getting arrested from home, and we all know that mm-hmm. this discipline thing should start from home, then that's where the problem stems. You're talking about the system at the end of the day. And even if a kid 7 years old, 8 years old, get a little spanking at school, and it's not anything harsh, it's just something just for the discipline purpose, you're still going to have the system in the way, coming at the school. Now the school is in the media, the parents are
around. They are now.
It's ugly today, even though we would like to see things turn back around and go back in that direction for the sake of
you can't. Yeah, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Yeah.
It's going to always be a problem, and it's only getting worse.
I'm glad my kids are done. I think all of us, we all have older kids. George, I know you got older kids, but let's say your son was back in the day. What would you go with?
Beat his motherfucking ass.
But see, that's you. See, George, they wouldn't have to do it. I mean, but you would let him though, right? I mean, he knows you would do it, but you'd let him.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
That's a father for you. That's a father for you. Because when you come home, I'm going to kick your ass again.
Here's the problem. We can agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, here's the damn problem. We, as in society, are a victim of our own demise.
Mm-hmm.
First, we started out with, we're beating the kids, you're hurting them, it's child abuse, you don't beat the kids no more, don't give them whips and sticks, put them in timeout. Whose bright idea was that, first of all? That's who I want to know. Who the fuck had this bright idea to stick somebody in the corner and say, you're in timeout? Yeah, that shit's going to work.
I'm going to tap on that. Let me tap on that just real, real, real quick, George. Just real, real quick. I don't want to be Roger. I don't want to cut you off and talk all over you. But I'm going to do it for a second.
You're already
doing
it.
Exactly.
look, for a split second, I was that timeout chick. And let me tell you why. My daughter had a pink chair. She was between 3 and 5 years old. You know, I would get them legs and put her in a timeout chair, and she stayed there for a whole damn hour. I'm going to tell you something. It works. It definitely works. It works for me as a single parent who knows this is the thing. I'm going to jail for the rest of my life type. So because I don't have a gray area, I had to do the tap them legs and put her in a timeout chair. I'd be in prison because I don't have the tolerance for rudeness, troops in of the teeth, throwing shit, tantrums. Zero tolerance. So, you know, I had to put – that was for me personally. You know what I'm saying? But I understand where you're going with who came up with the timeout shit, but it actually worked. The timeout and the taking away everything from your room, the big TV and the games and all that shit, it worked for me.
But you just said you didn't just go down.
See what I'm saying? Then you just threw everything. The whole theory just went out the window. Yeah, because you got the legs. She wasn't worried about timeout. She was worried about them legs.
Exactly. Pain will sober your ass up. Some of y'all adults still need whoopings and shit. Why are you talking?
Right.
I know a few.
Right.
Ew.
Right.
I might like it.
Ew. I mean, ew. So we created this mess. So then they figured out, oh, shoot. Well, that motherfucker pissed me off. All I got to do is call 911 and say she hit me. You know what I'm saying? Now everybody coming down. Everybody listening to the kid. That's lying.
I really think the parents should be held more responsible. I mean, I know we're all kind of going round and round with this, and it's kind of funny because none of us have school-age children. But, again, no, I didn't have to worry about being called because, I handled mine before they ever left. So the fear was there. They weren't worried about the school system. If I got called up to my kid's school, I knew it was legit. You know, I got called one time for my son and one time for my youngest daughter, and both times they were legit. And so it's not an issue because it's established at home. But when you leave it up to the school to rear your child, discipline your child, and actually make – that's not what school is for. It's to teach those little idiots. And if you don't have – if they don't have the discipline to sit still or to listen or whatever, then that needs to be addressed. Sometimes legitimately it's a problem. Other times it's just, you know, no home training, as we used to call it. So I don't know. I just think, hell, I think the parents need to be spanked too, shit, because it's way out of hand now. I would hate to be a teacher. I would hate to be an educator in this country right now. It would absolutely be the worst unless it was private. Unless it was private, I wouldn't even entertain doing it. I've had a lot of offers, turned them all down because I'd be, you know, I'd have a record by now. Because what you can't do as a child is come for me like that. You can't do it.
So what's funny is all the people that come up with this bright idea, but most of the people that probably came up with this bright idea came from an era where, as kids, you got your ass beat.
Yeah.
And they like shit. I got my ass beat. I didn't do, you know what I'm saying? That whole ass beat thing set a mindset. But now, then you had the group of people that was, you know, doing all this screaming about how bad it was and we got to stop this and we got to stop that. They made enough noise and people in the government tried to appease them and all that stuff. And now you're trying to go back to what you got away from with a set of children that have a whole different mindset. They're already rowdy. They're already out of the world because, you know, they don't respect mama. They don't respect daddy. They don't even respect their damn self. You know, they run around shooting shit up. You know what I mean? Now you want to put them in school and give them whoopings? That's not going to go well.
You know what that reminds me of?
That is not going to go well. You know, you can't go backwards.
Right. You know. Exactly. What you were just we were just talking about that is the fact that when they get mad, it used to be they wouldn't even listen. They wouldn't even, you know, you wouldn't even listen to the kids and things like that. You know what I'm saying? But my friend and I were talking about that, and he remembers when they had come out here to visit. Now, I'm just going to put it out there, and y'all can get mad because I'm here for it. He was dating this white girl, and she heard my youngest daughter, who was still in high school at the time. I don't know what she had done or cut up, but we were in the middle of something, too, and I grabbed the phone. And when I got done, everybody in the place that we were in was quiet. Everybody sat the hell down. Like, they were like, whoa, we went from joking and all that to see certain things I don't play about. Again, to this day, like I said, my girls run over me. They're supposed to. Until the day I die, they're going to run over me. But if I say sit down, they better not look for a chair. They understand how far to go and how far not to. I'm not that one. I love my kids, but I'm not your friend like that. We have a great time. I'm not your friend. And so she said that to him not too long ago. She was like, if that was my dad, I still wouldn't be talking to him the way I was like, and that's why you're in the situation you're in. That's why I told her. That's why, because you're not my contemporary. If I wanted your opinion, I'd give it to you. You can't express shit. But that's the point. Certain parents in certain cultures allow their children to have opinions, stay in adult conversations, yeah. not get backhanded, all that shit. My daughter knew it. I don't even know if I was in. Was I in town? All I know is when I got off that phone, everybody in the room was quiet. Like, shit, am I on punishment? Do I need to go do some chores? Like, that's the kind of father I am. Like, I'm not joking right. like that. And she was just, she was so offended. And she was like, I would still not be talking to him. And here's my thought. I don't give a shit. I can't think. Let me see. I can't think of the last time I cared when somebody was mad at me. I really can't. Let alone somebody I gave life to. But you see what I mean? If you don't have that established as the parent, why should your child respect anything and anyone in society? They can't respect or don't choose to when you're in the home. So, we're kind of right. taking it lightly about the spanking, but it's not the school's job. It's the parents' job. And most parents are ill-equipped to do it because you're too busy kicking it with your kids or growing up with your children. You do not possess the tools to keep them in line. Some people have children when they want to. Some people have children when they have to. And you can tell the difference. I stand by that. Bye. Sakari.
All right. So with that being said, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and talk things out. DB and the boys, join us for your midweek motivation. See ya. All right, and we are back, and it looks like we do have a caller on the line. 203, you are on with CB and the boy.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
What's going on,
bro? How are you?
Not much. My name is Rome.
Hey, Rome. Welcome in.
Thank you. I called in because I seen your guys were on. I thought it was like an open mic. I wanted to share something as an artist, but I heard what the host was saying, and I had a response to it. Like, it spoke to me. So I would like to give feedback back in response.
Oh, please.
Because I have two kids myself, I have a daughter. I have a son.
Okay.
And, you know, I believe in the rearing the child. At least I thought I did. I believe in to an extent, in a way, because I'm part of the generation where, as you notice, a lot of parents are younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a new conflict now. Like, you know, people are in their 20s, 30s, and themselves haven't matured and from broken homes and stuff like that nature, where it's a very different dynamic than what it was for even someone like myself that considers myself to be from a broken home. I still have more foundation than what it is today. There's still things I just do just because I do them, you know? Just because it's in my nature, just because it's the morale I was based around, even like feeling like I'm from a broken home. Like there's certain things I don't have to be asked to do. But I also remember growing up, because kids are the smartest things on earth to me. There was things that I realized that were hypocrisy with adults. So for me and my kids, I don't raise kids. I'm raising adults. These are people that are one day going to be adults themselves and they'll be better than me is my purpose. And so I went from where it was rearing out of fear to where it was conversation to help them mold and find where they were, where they themselves were at in the world without my own bias and trying to block the outside bias, just to let them shape themselves with their own and being their protector in the nature that, tell me what you think. No hold bars. With no judgment, and I got you. Because what I can remember is me being a kid speaking to adults and being shut out. Like, oh, because I said so. I'm the adult. And I'm looking like, oh, you know, a lot of y'all ain't shit, though, anyways. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to put in one out. You know what I'm saying? How dare you say that shit, you know? I got it more figured out than y'all. So I try to respect that. But I get what you're saying. A lot of people don't have a... The balance to, I think what you're saying more of is, it doesn't have to be rearing. Well, I think you're for that. I am too, but I don't think it has to be physical. It could just be an aspect of being firm in a no. Like, I debate and go back and forth with my daughter all day. Like, yo, I don't agree with you. What you're saying is ridiculous. To see how hard she fights for her point. You know, that's my form of rearing. Like, where did you even hear this? Who told you this? Because it wasn't for me. Like, who's influencing you? Let's see how hard you go for what you're saying you believe in.
Filtration system.
When you just came into the world, you know? And I found that to work for me.
The free water test to get.
And I think that's better than the physical aspect. You're talking, you know, even though I'm kind of like, I'm 25% with you. Sometimes, you know, like I tell my daughter all the time, when you get older, let it come a time if, you know, you talk crazy to mommy, you know, that's a one-on-one. I can't help it.
Right. See that part. See, yeah, it's all different. Hey, my man, listen, I love where you're coming from. I appreciate that because I tell people all the time, my kids have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, and I don't mind hearing it. I love a good debate. As the parent, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to do what I say, but I respect and allow them an opinion. I've always given my children a voice, but they don't make any calls. It's like, you're going to do what I say do, and that's going to be it. That's going to be all. But I respect your opinion, and I do want to talk about it because I want them to be able to be eloquent enough to, later in life, you know, vocalize what they think and how they feel in a very, very professional manner. So, big ups to you for even going that route. You know, I mean, there is no such thing as right or wrong. It's just different. So definitely big ups to you for that, man.
I like that clarification.
Yeah,
meaning
I appreciate you, my guy. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you all the time. Say, stick around or check us out later on. But we definitely appreciate you, bro. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh yeah,
no
for
doubt.
Sure. And my take in what you're saying there is, you know, of course, I definitely respect everything that everyone has to say. It works different for everyone. You know, it seems like you came from the era where, you know, you were around the grown-ups and you did get to see some things, hear some things. And like you said, they might have said some shit or did some shit. And it's like, well, shit, you ain't shit, so you ain't got a right to tell me. Let me make up my mind as to how it's going to be. And now you have your own kids and you're doing things a little bit differently so they can turn out a little bit differently. You know, so that's, you know, that's a good thing. It works for you in your household at the time, you know. And if it's crazy, then you know to put your foot down because that's what you got to do. you know.
Of
so
course,
at the end
definitely.
Of the day, you know, it, yeah, there is no judgment. It's all about what works for you and your household. I know that it doesn't work for a lot of people, so you're kind of like that 3% that it works for.
Yeah, because you know, I definitely got some switches. I got some switches, some belts, some chicletas. But that was just my nonsense, though. You know, like I didn't have to get that to take the garbage out.
Right.
I didn't need that when I got a job to put food in the cabinet. That morale just came with that morale. You know what I'm saying? Like that was just, you know, so that rearing was almost based on other people's frustration as adults in this situation.
Right.
That's how I seen it. Like people was mad. I'm growing up questioning things, and they're like, I'm an adult, but yet they're not really where they want to be or where they need to be.
Right. Right. So your respect level is different. As a result, it's like, you can't tell me what to do if you're over here doing bullshit. So I get it.
Well, hell no. Like I said, I'll take that garbage out, and I'll buy the grocery. I'll buy the groceries, too. But respect, I would never out speak in public and none of that. No. But that's something like, I didn't have to get hit to do that.
That's because you knew your place, you know. So now
well,
with
I knew
kids,
who had
you got
me.
Them at a standard where they got to know their place too.
Well, yeah, but how do they know that? They should know that. Like that's just family. That's like that's in debt nature. Like I think, like I could look at my kids, and even though I said I'm not going to hit them, they already have that fear. Even though they know they're not going to get hit, like the respect, it's just there. All off the nature. It's like, but like I don't have to hit them to do that. In fact, if I ever did, and I did strike my kids like on the ass a couple of times, but I realized that was like my frustration, and I realized how scared they got. They were like, "What the fuck? Grown ass me hitting me? Like, damn, it's my dad."
I'm gonna say this one. Fear is healthy. No matter how it does, when discipline is needed, fear is healthy. However you choose to do it is your. But if people don't fear repercussion, what stops people from doing all kind of crazy stuff? Because there's no fear. Laws, rules, incarceration, repercussion, retaliation. Fear is healthy. People don't that. And I don't mean living in fear, but I do mean if you don't have a respectful fear for things, then guess what? Everything's going to run amok. So there's
you're
that.
Right.
But I think the beautiful thing is that we all – what's that, brother?
And, like, in what aspect, like, where you feel like that fear to that? So what is it? Is it, like, them not listening to what you say? Or is it something like, hey, I'm going to show you how to be financially stable, but you're not doing that? So I'm gonna implement the fear. That's
no, it goes across.
Like, you know,
it all goes across the board. How you bring your children up and make them, you know, responsible is 100% perfect because it's your way. That's for anybody. I just mean throughout life, people have to fear consequences, or everybody it would just be anarchy out there. That's all I'm saying. And there's no right or wrong way. What works for you is fine. What works for George is fine. What works for Mimi, what works for CB, what works for me. I just mean we have to fear something. Why don't you break laws? Because you fear the repercussion. Why don't we all just go out there and do what the hell we want to do? We fear the result. It doesn't mean that you just walk around in fear. It just means, and so we're bringing that down to the most basic level when it comes to children, the discipline and structure that they need as young people, whether it be in school or in or out of the house. They just need structure and discipline. I think we all agree with that.
I'm a two-time felon, and I've had some beatings. And, you know, through all that, nothing could stop my stupidity. But what did strike me the most was the disappointment and shame I felt for myself for letting the people that were there for me down.
Okay.
And that's true than any core.
So where are you now in your life, in your own personal life? Where are you now?
Well, I'm doing great as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm doing it my way, like you said. Yeah, so everyone has their own way of going about it. You're right. There's, like, no such thing as a perfect thing, and everyone is – it's a learning. You gauge it out. You see what works, what doesn't work. And – but I'm doing great, but I'm still learning because, like I said, I myself feel like I'm from a broken home. My father wasn't around, and I'm a young parent. Like, I'm going to be 36. My daughter's 13, you know? Like, I basically learned how to parent while I was growing, but I had that.
Right.
And that nature, like you were talking about, that Southern stuff, like, you know, respect, you know, else I'm going to give you this look. Some might come if you like relax. I got regular kids. That's all I know. They play with rocks and sticks, and they don't act
no
up
doubt.
In public. You know what I'm saying? That's all I know.
That's. But you know what? That's the thing. Like I said, you got your method, and that's what works. So you know what I'm saying? But yeah, but honestly, you know, big ups to you, man. You seem to have a really good and positive outlook, and that's what I love to hear is the fact that you haven't given up. So do this for me, brother. Hang around. Like I said, maybe later on if you want to kind of poke back in and weigh in, you can, and definitely keep us on your radar in the future. We're going to jump to a couple of topics that people have been typing in and sending in. So definitely either hang around or get back with us another day, man. I appreciate you so much for your insight, my guy.
No problem, man. I appreciate your topic, man. That's what pulled me in. It was very interesting. So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah,
thank
no doubt,
you. I'm
no
on
doubt.
Here. I could tap in again, but I'll be listening for more.
All right.
Cool.
Awesome.
Hey, check this out. Check this out. While everybody's kind of on this somber note, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but y'all know I love starting shit. So I didn't get a chance to really kind of get into it a week or so ago. I don't know if you guys have been watching, if you've been hearing about like the Little League where it's World Series. My thing is I'm. Listen, this country, you got to hate to love it and you got to love to hate it because there's so much that's going on and what's being allowed. And when I say that, I say, unfortunately, you know, racism is alive and well. So here's what I'm talking about, and I'll give you guys a couple of examples. The most recent thing that happened was the Duke volleyball team. You know, the Duke volleyball team, and then even before that was the Little League World Series where all the players, and they were from Davenport, Iowa. Now, I'm very familiar with Iowa. I spent a lot of time there in college. That's another story. They were putting cotton in the little boy, in one of the young black boys' hair. Now, all these people were doing that, and everybody was trying to make excuses, going, hey, they're just kids being kids, doing blah, blah, blah. They took the cotton from these animals, stuffed animals that were given to him, and put it in his hair. I've read a bunch of responses. I've seen his mom, I think, tried to take the PC route and kind of smooth it over and things like that. But you know folks are smoking like a barbecue because of just the perception. How does that look? Now, as a guy who went to a 98% white school and had to go to small towns to do sports, it hit me a different way. Now, I didn't experience anything overt. I'm sure it was around, but this was the 80s and 90s, so who knows. That being said, I would have flipped shit if my kid – and it was on TV. So they're on TV putting cotton in this little black boy's hair. So you already know.
If he wasn't the only one, Roger. He wasn't the only one. I think the emphasis was on the little black boy as the camera
sure.
– like totally panned on him maybe a little bit too long.
Sure.
But there were
sure.
other little white boys on there too that also had the whole little cotton thing going on. But like I'm saying, I don't know who came up with the whole cotton thing and why.
And you know media will put their spin on it. So I was going to say, would you guys have been, because again, for me, listen, for me, I understand perception is reality. And unfortunately, you can't do something like this and it not go all over the world. Now, back in the day, you could have done that and everybody could have joked about it. But now you see that and people will lose their mind. Let's say I've been somewhere working and I looked up on TV at halftime or at the All-Star break or whatever.
Yeah.
And I see my son again. I would have lost my mind. But again, I think mom tried to do her best to go in there and go, no, listen, it isn't what you guys say. And people take everything so personally. But I just know Iowa is what Iowa is. And it's one of those, I think sometimes people need to step up and err on the side of caution and go, you know what, let's not do that here. Let's keep that in-house. Okay, I'll give you guys an example. In martial arts, when you get promoted, oftentimes – there's a ceremony where if you get promoted to a different belt, judo, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, et cetera, you do a gauntlet. You walk through, your shirt is off, and people hit you across the back with belts. a whole lot like, you know, whipping, if you will. That's a very old tradition. It has a lot of symbolic meaning. But if you see a black man walking and people hitting them, people are going to trip out if they don't know what's going on. That's why some things
right.
stay within the family or within a select group of people that understand what's going on. I think this was one of those mm-hmm. cases, but I also think that that kid should have been protected because he's going to be immortalized the wrong way, even if it was innocent, okay,
yeah.
even if it was innocent. Yeah. So with Duke and the volleyball team, same thing. These black girls were just verbally accosted, verbally just abused because they were playing BYU, which, you know, it's notorious for being like that. No one stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
No one protected them. And I think this is still a problem after all this time. It, you know, it's still alive and well. I mean, these girls are they're playing for a high-profile school, huh? And it's sad
did.
Because no one helped, huh?
Of course they didn't. Did you really expect
what do you mean?
Them to? I mean, this is the world we are living in right now. This is the way it is. Sad to say, this is the new normal. Should we get used to it? No. Is it right? No. But it is what it is. And
that's just the way it is. Some things will never change.
Yeah.
I think
the
melody is a little bit like that, yeah. So until people decide, you know, instead of it, they have the mentality that it's me, 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 and instead of, you know, us and thinking of other people, like, we are living in a country right now that does not give a crap. We don't.
Mm-hmm. There's
really
no now.
Don't.
They never
had. And it is sad. Well, I disagree because in the past, at least we were cordial to each other. At least we had manners to each other. And if you didn't like someone, you kept it to yourself. You weren't all out, you know, blatant about it. Now, I mean, it's blatant. It's in your face. You know, racism has always been there. Always. It may have lain dormant for a while, but it is alive and kicking, but it never went away. Now Now it's just being filmed, and it's out there so that those that are being racist are being held accountable for their actions. They're being put on blast. Like a lot of the news shows, they have things called the Karens, and they show, you know, the Karens at their worst and things like that. The Karens and the Kens. You know, they're not going
but,
anywhere.
But is that really helping, or is that making some people that shouldn't be known famous? See, I don't agree that it's doing a damn
it's
thing.
Not,
it's making
it's
some unknown housewife, it's giving her 5 minutes of fame. This is what I tell people all the time. I am much more Malcolm X than MLK. I'll be honest with you. So my solution ain't let's talk about it, let's sit, let's be calm. My solution is eye for a fucking eye. That's just how I feel because I feel like we've gone back 60 years. That whole, you said it's laying dormant. I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Have.
It's always been there. But, you know, back in the day, they could call you something, say whatever, and now it's gotten back to that.
Yeah, but now it's being filmed. And, yeah, the Karens and Kens get their 15 minutes of fame. But it also, it's a double-edged sword because it gets out what's being done. Like, we never would have known what had happened to George Floyd had someone
true.
Not have filmed that.
True. Very true. Very
mm-hmm.
true. And so, yes, I do think that you're right. Exposure is at least giving awareness. So I have to agree
mm-hmm.
with you 100%. That exposure is giving awareness. But now everybody's going, see, I told you. And now there's a gap in the bridge, though. Just because you're like, see, I got it, and you're over here like, see, we told you we were right. How are you going to bridge that gap? Who's going to do something? People talk a lot of shit. Nobody wants to be the martyr because that means you got to make the ultimate sacrifice. And so I feel like there's a lot of claptrap going on about, well, if that was me, I wish somebody – you don't wish somebody would. I don't ever wish to be in some of these positions. I'm terrified of what the result may end up being, and it's not going to be good. Because if you're forced to do what you claim that you would have to do, that's not going to end well. I'm saying all to say I don't know the answer on a global scale. I know the answer on a personal scale, on a personal level, and it's not going to end well. and that scares me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the answer on a global scale other than unification, which is something that we have yet to achieve because it's all part of the plan. So anyway, but it's sad that in 2022, these young ladies can't go to a prestigious historic college and get an education, play sports, and still not be hit with all these racial slurs and all this kind of shit. And what's funny, if I go to Utah all the time and none of that, but I also am not a young college girl playing, and I don't look like I won't do some felonious shit if you say something to me, so I can't really put myself in that perspective because, you know, I do have that I wish so-and-so would attitude, but anyway, it makes me mad. I don't like it. I mean, none of us do, so whatever we can do to help that, you know, I'm speaking on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish motherfucker would, though.
Oh,
To my, hey, you know how we feel. So yeah, that's wacky wild. It is what it is.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, before we start our main topic, we're gonna go to a music break. So we will be right back after these messages. And speaking of right back, I'm taking you guys really, really far back tonight.
Oh God. Okay.
I don't know. We might see what's up.
Okay, let's see what's up, man. Sometimes she just goes to the left with her little thinking.
Just imagine a world such as this. Here we go. Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Imagine Me.
Hey.
Okay.
The elements, baby, the elements.
Let's take it back.
Y'all don't know about that.
Yeah, we do. Well, I do.
Down on about Phila Bailey. Down on about Phila Bailey.
I know he was a starlight this weekend.
Don't play all 10 minutes of it. It's a 10-minute song.
You know, back in the day. That's back in the day when you had like 4 songs on a whole album, but that shit was still an hour and a half long. Right. That's Philip, though.
I said it.
You sure
do.
See? We multitasking. They multitasking. I said it, Molly.
Now,
that's
imagine
okay.
You are
a little bit of film.
Imagine that you go.
I said, don't play
10
minutes
occur.
Of it. She went 3.5.
There you go. Imagine that you visit a church, all right? Never been in this church before.
Mm.
And you've heard good things about the church, first of all. You've heard really good things about the church. You're excited to go. You're excited to visit. Then you're there. You know, choir sounds great. You know, you're in the vibe. Then all of a sudden, it's time for the pastor of the church to bring the word. But instead of bringing the word, he scares the crap out of you because he goes on a rant about how the congregation won't shower him with expensive gifts. Now think about that. As a new person visiting a church, what would go through your mind? Would you want to go back?
I would laugh at this.
I'm never going back. I'm never going back because he's already set the pace in my head for what it is.
I mean, sadly, I wouldn't know because I haven't been to a church that wasn't for a funeral or a wedding in many a moon. So that being said, you're not taking a collection of me because I need my money. But listen, we all watched that whole thing, and I'm sorry, that guy was an ass clown. But look at him, just watching. He reminded me so much of Antoine Dotson. I don't know what to do. If y'all don't know who that is, Google him. Hide your wife, hide your kids. That's who he reminded me of. Didn't he? Okay, then. He was an ass clown. Yeah. I don't care if he's a reverend or preacher. That's just a title to me. Shit. but that was pathetic. You know, that was pathetic, and it was you're begging, and the message is wrong. But it was that whole thing was laughable. Then he had to go do the whole apology and all that. Now, here's what I will give that young man. The guy, he's a pretty good orator. He's pretty nice with his words. He's good. I see how he can be charismatic, and I see how he's duped a lot of people, and I'm not, you know, bagging on those people, you know, respectively, but, oh, yeah, that dude's a clown. He's a complete clown, and I feel bad for the people that, he's doing that to. Because clearly he's using his position for the wrong reasons, which a lot of people do. But I mean, he was going in on him. He was going in on him. You gonna call him broke, busted, disgusted? Tell him they can't afford something.
Yeah.
And nobody threw anything at him.
No Rolex. No diamonds.
You're right.
No
I didn't hit his ass with a hymn book.
And he was a bit salty over that, you know. Don't become a pastor to wear a Rolex, you know.
Some people do.
Some do, but I mean, you know, I regret. You're right. Some do.
Sadly,
and it's
but
bad.
And there seem to be more and more. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. We talk mega churches and things like that. Look how many. Now, here's the thing about it. Now, we didn't invent this per se, because like I said, I don't care how old you are. If you're over the age of about 35, 40, you know who Jim Baker was. You know who Jimmy Swaggart was. You know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Everybody here is like, yep. Okay. Like I said, we didn't invent this. Don't get me wrong. We took it up a level because we can be so over the top. But you've been seeing this forever. Think about those late night infomercials and all that stuff. They telling you to call in and they gonna send you blessed water and all this bullshit. Now, this guy was just pathetic. He was po pimping, you know, or trying to anyway. But it was sad, and I feel bad for people that really look to these individuals as so-called life leaders and things like that because they're being duped. And my heart goes out to like our older generations and things like that because these people are abusing what got a lot of us through tough times. You're manipulating people's hearts and beliefs and things like that. And for that, I'm very, very upset about it. But I'm also, you know, my mindset is such as I'm an adult. My father's not here anymore. You know, I learned things from my coaches. I learned things from other people in the world that know more than I do about certain specifics. I don't need a life leader. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm actually trying to teach my children to be responsible adults and things like that. So it's just kind of crazy because, you know, the fact that you got these cats. And CB, I know we got a little more going because we talked about the – did you guys see the story about the other member of the church? Did we see – okay.
So they
got a lot going on here. They got a lot going on here.
Is that a reflection of the church? Because the church can't. It makes you wonder. It's like, is it a reflection of the church? Is this church of the poison mind? You know?
Maybe.
It makes you wonder. When you have so many things that are coming, you know, from this one entity. It's suspect. It's very suspect. I would not visit there.
Okay. Look, first and foremost, yes, the reverend and the elders and the preachers and all that have. Okay, they have to talk. Just like if you're in business, managers and directors and all that have to, this is about to be funny, George, managers and all that have to, they have to collaborate and talk and things like that. So I'm sorry, for those who don't know what's going on, we're talking about a particular church in Kansas City. The pastor, Funderburk, was a guy that went viral for asking for mulattoes, et cetera, et cetera. As of a week or two ago, their elder, now let me, their elder was accused of murder, well, he was found guilty of murdering his wife. So for people who aren't really well-versed in the church and things like that, your elders are just what it sounds like. They're supposed to be the older, more wise, mm-hmm. more sage, you know, members of the church, and they are the voices of reason and leadership and all that. This gentleman was a 30-year-old elder. I'll wait. Mm-hmm. That's a damn oxymoron. You can't be a 30-year-old elder unless you're still playing, you know, T-ball. So that being said, tells me what CB just said. It's some chicanery going on at this church. I mean, the pastor was youngish, an elder at 30. So, you know, this whole thing is a joke. I'm sorry if I'm ruffling mm-hmm. feathers. I don't really care, but it's a joke. So as an elder, he's 30. He killed his 38-year-old wife, and then the 30-some-odd-year-old preacher is begging for mulattoes. I guarantee you they hold church in the back of a KFC some damn where. This shit's a whole joke. Mm-hmm. They've made a whole joke out of this system. So it's bad, and I feel bad for people that trust and believe in him because he's duped them. But if this helps, get out. Just jump. Just get out, man. Get out while you can. You don't need this, mm-hmm. people. How are you going to listen to someone who may or may not have any more life experience and who's up there using colloquialisms and hip-hop, you know, terminology to call you broke and talk down to you and make you feel like, you know, that God is telling you to do that and make them, you know, get out of here. So, George, go ahead, because I know you can't wait. We're on one tonight, folks. Let me have it, G. Let me have it. My man.
Hey, there it is. Guess you don't believe my church. The Church of Divine Economic Spirituality.
Yeah, that's right. I don't believe in it.
Then you don't believe in God.
Not your God.
My God doing all right by me? Why don't you climb on board and believe in me? And for a small fee, I'll set you free near thy God to be. Because it's better to have money and not to need it than to need it not to have it. And there's a good place in this world for money. Yes, sir, and I know where it is. It's right here in my pocket.
Hey, give me some.
You're talking just like a pimp.
Answer him, Lord.
I don't get mad at people like that. You know why? Because he's a revolutionary.
Yeah, right.
He must be leading a bunch of fools. He doesn't respect women he don't even know. Russell's sister's some of the finest women you ever want to meet. He don't know nothing about them. Go and talk about them.
Right.
If I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking your ass.
Drop on down, brother.
Drop on down here, brother. I'm gonna drop on down with a bit of light.
Yeah,
make him apologize, sister.
All right. You got it.
I shall not be moved. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a tree planted by the water.
Hey.
I shall not be moved.
All right.
So who would join this church? Because that would be a fun church. Like, come on. Who would not?
Hey, just like Peter Griffin did on Family Guy, he had the Church of the Ponds. If Richard Pryor was still around to add one, shit, I'd be right there. Laughing the whole way. I ain't trying to step on toes, but I know I am, and that's fine. People, you can do what you want, choose what you want, believe in what you want, but there's just no way. There's no way, you know, I'm going to let someone like that talk. You can't, didn't your parents always say be a leader, not a follower? And the fact of the matter is, when you get some, if your mind and heart tells you something doesn't seem right, why have you been conditioned to go along with something just because they, whoever the hell they are, say you should? I'm a free thinker.
Right.
So I'm not about to get in front of it. I'm just, look, do your thing. You know what that is? And listen, people, y'all need to understand, that's a job. That person is doing their job. If they do their job well, they end up driving off in the Bentley. They end up having a private plane. Mm-hmm. Your ass ends up going back to work so you can come in buying Movados. It's a job. Are you not literate? Can you not teach yourself? Then why do you need someone who may even be younger than you, not have as much experience, tell you how to be whatever the best version of yourself is? I'm just asking questions. That's all. That's really how I feel. My grandmother had a 27-year-old pastor, and they loved him when it came to teaching the word. But the minute he got up there and started telling wives and mothers what they should do, they tore his ass apart. I will never forget. I was 24 and he was 27. And they love their reverend. But though you cannot tell old women who have grandchildren older than you what to do, how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother. Could an 18-year-old come up to either one of you ladies and tell you the best way to be a mother? I didn't think so. Same shit.
No.
Same shit. It just is what it is. But like I said, I think this stuff is getting out of hand, but it's never gone away. Remember the show we did about, you know, cult versus, this kind of follows suit. I don't care if they're black versus white or whatever. This kind of follows suit. You know, I think this guy is a joke, and I think his whole congregation and all that, I think they're all suspect. I feel bad for him.
Would you drink the Kool-Aid? This is the thing, though. At the end of the day, they are still human beings, and the devil is going to remain busy. Just like God is into blessing, the devil is into doing his thing, too. And he's catching all of those that people are so believing in. Because there was another incident with a pastor off of Heritage Baptist Church out there in Missouri. His wife evidently was out eating with a guy. He confronted the guy, busted the guy 3 shots. This just happened in June of this year. You know, killed the guy.
Mm.
So pastors are just like on, they're in with the shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? Look at the late Eddie Long, you know?
Oh, yeah.
From New Birth. You know, that was like the biggest scandal of the scandals. You know, I was a member of that 25,000 plus members. I was one of them.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And at the
wow.
end of that whole, like, with the whole, you know, I think we had talked about this before, but the whole church, the body of the church, had went on a 21-day fast. And on that weekend, before that 21st day, that whole thing came out with them boys. The cameras were all up at the church. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend my 21st day at home because I'm not going to church. And I'm going to just chill with God, you know, and redirect, you know, my position because this is crazy. And, of course, you know, it only got crazier and crazier because after them 4 boys, a 5th one came out. You know, and next thing you know, a year later, he dies from cancer. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, they are human beings. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look, you go, you get the word, and you deal with it as it should be, you know. But, you know, I can't reach far enough. I come out of the camera. But I stay with my Bible next to me. You know what I'm saying? I want to get the word. I go in there, I get the word. I do my thing. You know what I'm saying? I do my spiritual thing with my Orishas and my, you know, my spiritual goddesses and all that and God and all that. And I just keep it moving.com, period. You know, because you can't put yourself into it's a man nowadays. You will be disappointed. You know, you got to get what you can get out of it and keep it moving.
Right. So, you put your trust, but you don't put your trust into a man. You just said that. You don't put your trust into a human. So do you really need another individual telling you how to think, how to feel, and what to read? Or can you do it yourself?
No, you can definitely do it yourself. This is the thing, though. You know, it's like, you know, you were taught growing up, you know, you were taught one thing. It's like, you know, we're two or more gathered, da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. You know, I grew up Catholic, but as soon as I got up out of my mother's wing, like, I just went to a different direction because I was like, these Catholic pastors are on some bullshit, you know, because they still are to this day, you know, and you still have Catholic pastors doing shit to to the women in the church and the boys. And
but guess what? Guess what? So did Eddie. Eddie did the same shit they did. What's the difference?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not that there's a difference. Is that, you know, is about it when it comes out, because you don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like deciding that you're going to go to Walmart. You're not going to go to Walmart anymore, but now you're going to go to Kroger and you find, okay, Kroger is more expensive than Walmart. Let me go back to Walmart. It's just that type of thing. You know, that's what it is. I have comparisons like that because it is what it is. You know?
But the surprising part about all that is that there were still parishioners who wanted him to stay after all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. Well, of course. Because you know what it went to after that? It went to, oh, you don't need to listen to how he, it's not about how he lives his life, it's about the message that he delivers. Okay. And then it puts you to the test because we're not supposed to judge, right? So then it puts you to the test. And I'm like, you know what, this is the thing. It's not going to put me to the test. What I'm going to do is I'm going to remove myself and go to where I needed to go to in the first place, because at the end of the day, the same Bible that he's up there reading from is the same Bible that I have at home. So why am I not getting it? Why am I not getting it for me versus going to a church and getting it with a bunch of people that are a bunch of hypocrites, because all they're doing is watching how each other is dressing every week. Who's wearing what car they're driving, how much money they have, how much money they put into this thing, you know? And me, who might have a $24,000, you know, budget or salary for the year, might not be putting in the type of money that somebody that's making $150,000 a year putting in. So if something happens to me, and I go to the church, and I'm asking the church for help, and they go, let's see in the computer how much money you put in. Ah, we can't do anything for you. But then the person that was making $150,000 got something going on, and they come to the church. Oh, we can do something for Sister Sanders because she's been giving to the church. Fuck out of here. All I'm saying is, you know, to eat his own. I'm going
to
take a shot on that.
Look, to me, it's like this. If they have a base salary, and they always talk about other things. My thing is this: if you're gonna give your money based on that shit, I'd rather give it to somebody who can make their ass clap, and the reverend can't do that, because in the end don't they get their payday? So I'm not buying you nothing. Like, you're not on my last name. You're not on my taxes. And that's just me personally. I'm not saying for anybody to contribute or not the way they want, but I just don't believe. I'm beyond that. I'm not gonna let somebody come and tell me what to do, and then they can't even walk that same walk. I think this is the problem that a lot of people, a lot of us who came up that way, have had the differences. So this, real quick, folks, we've got a caller in. This ought to be, this is going to be very, very insightful from the looks of it. So, CB, take it away.
Mm. All right, guys. We have on the line Pastor Kendrick Breckenridge, who's the pastor of Sufficient Grace Church. Welcome, Pastor Breckenridge.
How are you?
We're doing
so well
good.
Tonight. How's it going, sir?
Good.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I do want to say right off the bat to CB that I'm loving the setup that you guys have now. Since the last time I was on, I guess I don't know how long ago it was, but you guys were just doing the call-in deal, so I just wanted to say that the look of the setup that you have now is a lot better. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Slow growth. You good?
I think that, you know, when yesterday when, you know, you told me about the subject matter that you guys were going to have, I think that you have two different things, because I think that when you're talking about the person that you know, crossing Funderburk and the thing that he said, I've kind of heard a couple of different things there. One of those gentlemen said that the whole congregation is being suspect. I think that when you haven't, you know, met people, it's kind of hard to make just a generalistic kind of, you know, just wipe the whole thing and make comments about, you know, people like that. And the thing is, you don't know what he said before that, you know. So maybe this is the first time he said something that was just that crazy. I know my younger siblings grew up with his wife, and she is a person that is a high caliber, high character person.
See, that's how I know you still.
And so I don't think that I have one of our former members goes to that church, and I haven't talked to them since, you know, this whole deal broke. I'm not looking to really weigh in one way or the other, other than to say I think that you can, to me, it's important to be humble at all times, be a person of humility. And, you know, the word instructs us, you know, to humble ourselves, you know, before God, that he will exalt you. But it also says if you go the other route and you, you know, operating in a place of, you know, where you have a haughty, you know, opinion of yourself, that you will be humble. And so I think that you can get too comfortable. And you know, it for me, it makes me think of when I was a kid. You know, I could joke around with mom, but there were limits. You better know what those limits were, and you needed to err on this side with caution. And so this man, you know, got out there and he was saying some stuff, and he got a little too comfortable and went a little too far, and was saying some stuff that compromises the word that you're bringing. Because and I heard that when he said he hadn't been in church in many moments, and then was just talking about just the concept of even, you know, getting the word from anybody. And so I think that if you aren't you know, going by what the Bible says, then it's kind of hard to have a valid opinion. I don't care if you are a person that never goes to church or a pastor that exalts your opinion over what the word says. And then so a lot of people move by biblical gossip, you know, and there are a lot of times when I have addressed things that people think are in the word that aren't actually even in the word. I mean, I've had people surprised that cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible, you know. So I think that what you have to do is to operate, first of all, in humility. If you don't operate in humility, you are not representing the facets of the word. You just really are not. And so it's important to operate in humility and to try to be as close to what the word is saying as possible. And if you aren't a person that hears from God, then, you know, then you really shouldn't be preaching. You know,
that's right.
If you're going to promote your opinion and you know, insert, you know, your style of doing things, you know, and have that be superior to what, you know, the word is saying, then you are going to be in a place where you're going to be humble. Be looked at in a way that, and then you can complain about it later and say, well, they don't know this about me. They don't know that. But you have to be very careful, because especially in this day and time where, you know, there are cameras everywhere, you know, you can't go down the street, you know, and do anything now without somebody capturing it on camera. And so you need to be at your best at all times, you know. And so you don't really get to say things that are, you know, out of whack and inappropriate. And, you know, and I will say, you know, all of us, I don't care who you are, if you have your worst moment, you know, on the big screen and it goes viral and that kind of stuff, I've said some things since I've been a pastor. You know, there have been things that times that my wife upset me, you know, and we got into it, and I had to repent for the things that I said. I would not want those things, you know, going viral. I praise the Lord. Those things weren't going viral before, you know, I matured and did things differently and learned just to sit there and shut up until I was in a place where I could say something that was constructive, you know, and not horrible.
So, Reverend, can I ask you a question, sir? I'd like to ask you a question. Because what you're saying has a lot of merit. Now, I think the point that we're making, I think we're speaking from a similar place, but here's my point. It was once said that some people cannot have a bad day. For instance, let's take police officers. When a police officer reacts erratically and someone ends up dead unnecessarily, they say, oh, well, he was afraid, he had a moment of this or a moment of that. You're supposed to be at the highest level of your job and position because your job is supersedes a lot. You have to protect life. You have to do a lot of things. So they really can't afford to have a bad day. I hate to say it, but I feel like in this day and age, as you were just saying, when people are filming everything, recording everything, it is almost impossible to have a foobar like that and be able to get away with it without it going viral. So I feel like you're right. As the leader of a congregation and the leader of people who put a lot of faith into you all, you have a very, very demanding job. But you really can't have a bad day. And you spoke of it yourself. You said, hey, listen, I've said and done things in the past that, you know, my wife and I have discussed, and, you know, I've taken it to the Lord, things like that. Sometimes you can't. Now, if you have a bad day, that bad day is forever. But I also want to know, do you feel like that was a moment of, oh, that was just an erratic behavior, or that was true sentiment? Because you have to realize when you make have a knee-jerk reaction or when you make statements as specific as that, that's thought out. That's planned. That's premeditated. That wasn't just something that happened. So, again, there was a lack of humility, and there was a lack of thought put into that. Now, if people took it for me to say that everybody in the congregation was not intelligent, things like that, I will retract that. I don't want to stand by that because I don't want to judge everyone. But for the people that were, you know, the peanut gallery, as we call it, the Amen Corner and things like that, that are pushing and promoting that, my statements stand and ring and resonate because I am talking to them. I'm talking directly to them. That's part of the problem. You know, you cannot reinforce that type of behavior. I don't care who it comes from. You know, we're all human, and titles are what they are. They are titles. So that being said, I absolutely respect where you're coming from.
Some of them have left, you know, and I've seen some things, that, you know, from some of them that I know, you know, tearing into him in the worst way, and that's why I said you can't really paint him out with the same broad, you know, brush. But I will say this, and you said something that has a whole lot of merit because it's a difference between, and that's what I said about your humility, because there's a difference between, you know, you go up there and you say something that, you know, I know that for me, I humor is a big part of my life, and you know, I tease people and things like that. And so let's say that somebody that didn't know me, the congregation knows my sense of humor, and I can't imagine somebody would say that would be, you know, nothing on that level for sure. But you know, that's one thing. But the other side of that is there are things that you do where you are just being exposed. And so that's, to me, that's the difference. And so is this a deal where, you know, you say something that gets taken out of context or something like that, or is it something where your character is actually being exposed? And that's what I'm saying. If you aren't a person of humility and you're in a job where humility, you know, it is a huge part of the job description, then you're going to get in trouble. And just like with the example with the police officer, if you aren't a person that has the right kind of character, then eventually you are going to have that kind of a bad day. And so a bad day, you know, what does that really mean? You know, because a bad day can mean, you know, you do a little something that's a little, you know, whatever. It's not the way I would have wanted to say it, but blah, blah, blah. Right. But if your bad day just exposes the fact that you just suck as a police officer or as a pastor, then, hey, that's just the darkness coming to light. And so there are two different things, but the one thing I do want to say that for me, I am in a place where if somebody, you know, congratulates me or, you know, or says something about a sermon that I preached, and I've been pastoring since 2005, I've been in ministry since 1994, and I still don't have a good response to that. All I can say is to God be the glory, because if I say it right, then it's just the stuff he gave me. If it's just okay, you know, or if it's not good, then it's probably a whole lot of me. And so that's why before I even preach, you know, I ask God to increase, that I decrease. And so that kind of humility is necessary. I don't care if you are, you know, a big pastor preaching to a 25,000, as Sis said earlier, or, you know, you got seven folks, you know, in a living room.
That's right.
And so, you know, you, it, that humility is the number one thing that will put you in position. But the only thing that's more important than humility is actually knowing the word. You don't want to get up there and be talking some stuff. You know,
that's
you know,
yeah, how about it?
And
how
you
about
don't talking
that's
about
why
it.
I'd rather,
but
that's
knowing
why
the word and the humility,
in a
those things
do
work. They work hand to hand.
Sure, sure.
So
and my thought is this: would you? So what we were saying, you if you reach one person, do you feel like your job?
Mm-hmm.
has been accomplished for that day. Even, like you said, if you've got a congregation of 25K or if you've got a congregation of 7, if you know for a fact that you reach one person and they walk out of there going, Rev, without you, I may not have made it to the next day, you feel like you've been successful because it's not a numbers game.
Absolutely.
But you also just made a point earlier, and we all agree, just because people have a particular occupation doesn't mean that they're cut out for it, that they're great at it.
Man.
And that being said, when someone mm-hmm. tells you, I asked you all a year ago, and I still don't have it, humility out the door. And again, sir,
right.
I'm not going to paint you with that brush. You clearly have a different grasp on it, so I'm never going to be one to make a blanket statement deliberately. But what I am mm-hmm. saying is, again, people are people, humans are fallible, and sometimes egos play a part. So to
Man.
Further the cliche, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and you cannot tell me
absolutely.
That when people recognize the power that they wield, that sometimes it's too difficult to not utilize that for selfish gain. And I think this is just a situation that we've seen. Like I was telling my co-host earlier, my heart does go out to the people that really believed in and bought in and things like that, because I think the message is being lost and they're being misled by a personal situation. Again, is that
yep.
everyone? No. Is that all situations? No, it's not. So, you know, again, I appreciate your insight, because you're coming from, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, which is what we've all kind of grown and come to know from this respective situation and setup, because we were all raised pretty much the same way. So I promise you, we could all sit down and have this conversation about a lot of books in the Bible and a lot of lessons and a lot of, you know, psalms
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But getting to this point in my life with a lot of experiences and things like this, I promise you, human nature is what it is, and I don't care what your occupation is. You're always going to find some rotten apples in the barrel.
Oh, Lord, yes. That is absolutely true. And I, you know, honestly, you know, I won't say the name of the church, but, you know, where I grew up, you know, we had a pastor
mm-hmm.
that was very present in the community. He was a lot of times people would hear him and they wouldn't even know he was white, and I think sometimes he didn't know, but he was.
I may know who you're talking about, brother. I may know who you're talking about.
But there isn't one person in Kansas City that was any more involved in civil rights and things like that, making sure the community, you know, was in a better place, dealt with had the gang summit where you had well-known gang leaders come and throw their rags on the altar, things like that. You know, made
mm-hmm.
sure people got fed, you know, very active in the community, you know, did things that was
okay.
wonderful. And then when he retired, you know, a person came there afterward, and he came there. He was married at his previous stop, and his girlfriend was very present in the church, and he did a horrible job of masking it. So I guess when he got fired from there, he came to the place where I grew up. And there he is with his girlfriend, and you know, they went to a funeral, and he announced they had just gotten married and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I'm just like, man. So listen, as a pastor, I'm looking at this other pastor, and I'm like, man, you oh, you, and
my man, you're not walking the talk.
Oh my God, you know, and I was, you know, absolutely incredulous looking at this,
right.
saying what, and
right.
you know, how do you get up there? Because my thing is, it's one thing, you know, as a football coach, you know, I think about the guy at Penn State, Joe Paterno, and all the stuff that was going on there
yeah.
you know, his legacy is soured, you know, but man, that's people. You are in a position where with all your heart, you believe that God controls the universe, you know, has all power. He's everywhere at the same time and has all knowledge. And you are getting there and doing things of that ilk. That brazen. I mean, you're not talking about, you know, everybody, you know, has their they're saying that they're this or that, you know, and you're trying to work out your own soul salvation, you know, and you on the way to that. You're talking about, man, it's almost like you flipping God the bird, you know, like, you know, I can do whatever I want to do, you know.
And so you
have to be careful not to be of that mindset and try to be, and I don't care what you do. I don't care what your occupation is. There is, you know, a level of integrity that is just mandatory. And if you can't walk in that, then you have no business doing whatever you're doing. And definitely, if you are a pastor, a teacher, you know, a coach,
you have a position.
People that are dealing with
a teacher.
The development of other people. And,
right.
And it's just inexcusable. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, hey, listen, thank you for showing the human side of it, because, see, this is what I'll tell you. Regardless of what any of us believe, you know, personally or in respective of things, the fact that you're like, listen, I understand the human aspect of it, it gives you that much more credibility for whoever's listening or for any, or, you know, even if someone would say, hey, would you suggest going here or there, I would actually point you them in your direction, simply because you're not ducking behind barrels trying to, you know, make excuses and things like that for someone who's in the same profession as you. And I know, you know, you're just being who you are, but my point is, my man, is people's words and actions don't match up. And I say it over and over and over again. I don't care what your occupation is. You can be a doctor, lawyer, you can be the president, you can be a preacher. We are all human beings. Everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. Your job is just different from mine. You know what? George and I are the reason your microphones and your computers and stuff work so that you can preach that sermon on Sunday. Guess what? Where every bit is important as the message you're given. Your message wouldn't be heard without us. You know, Mimi does taxes, CB does the same thing. I just appreciate the human element coming from you, because sometimes there really is no defense. Human nature is human nature, and you said it best. Sometimes people take their position and flip God the bird. So you just told your CEO to go jump in the lake because of something personal. I'm not saying you agree. I'm just saying you recognize it to be what it is. So for that you have my appreciation, because you're not ducking and dodging the bullet.
Hey, I appreciate you saying that. And for me, you know, it's a deal where God calling me, you know, I just wrote a song. I went to a convention and they announced to me right before it started I was going to have to be in the songwriter category. That's another story. And so I wrote a song. But it said that you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, how could a man like me deserve that after the wrong I'd done? You know, and so I wasn't just, you know, just picking some words that rhymed. That was really my deal. And it was, you know, when I was younger, you know, I did some stuff, you know. And so I was, you know, kind of blown away that God even called me. Matter of fact, you know, the joke I tell, it's a song that says, Jesus is on the main line, tell him what you want. When it came to pastoring, my thing was, Jesus is on the main line, tell him to call me back.
You do have a sense of humor, boy. I like that in you.
Not want to do it. You know, and so, but you know, something that I've been watching a lot, there are people that grew up wanting to be a pastor, you know, that look at the spotlight version of it, and all that kind of thing. But a lot of the pastors I know that are really men of integrity and really walk with what they talk are people that really had no desire to do that and felt God called them. And so then they do that thing, and they do it according to what he wants them to do and not according to their own aspirations. And I think if you have that humility, then
right.
regardless of what your calling is, my mom was called to teach, you know, you know, and so she took teaching, you know, to a level and looked at it as a calling, not just as a profession. And I don't – so whatever it is, if you look at it as your calling and you do it with integrity and you do it with humility, you know, and you do it with excellence, then at the end of the day, your legacy is going to speak, and what you do is going to outlive you. Any person that fulfills their purpose, I don't care what you do, your purpose is going to outlive you. I was just telling them, I have preached Sunday, and I just told them that, you know, there's a scripture that said that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so I told them, and people are looking at me crazy when I say this, and I say that you think that the worst thing that can happen is that you get killed. No, the worst thing that can happen is that you don't fulfill your purpose, because your purpose will outlive your life. And so that's the thing, man. Regardless of your deal, if my friend that's hosting this show, you know, goes on and does everything that she is capable of doing the way that she's capable of doing it, then when she's dead and gone, then the thing that she put in place will still be going and still be succeeding, and there will still be people that are prospering in a way that they would not have had she not done what she's been called to do. And so that's what I think. That's the way that I live my life, and I hope that, you know, I can be a blessing to people, and that I had a God that is my, now he is the person that I consider to be my pastor. And he said, I want to help you. He said, but if I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you. And, you know, we beat our chest and say we don't need that kind of thing. But that spoke to me in a way that everything else he said, that superseded everything else he said. And so that humility that he had to say that really spoke to me. And that's what I hope that comes out of those of us that are real pastors. And people that we are speaking to can be blessed. And that's it.
Say, you know what, boss, I'm going to say this, Brad. Man, we appreciate you, because I appreciate you're just real human. I'm a man view on this, you know, just saying, hey, listen, you know, obviously, you know, every one of us is kind of walking the same walk, and none of us is perfect. You know, by your own admission, you've given yourself, like I said, that much more credibility in saying that because I went through it, here I am. So, man, we just really want to thank you for giving your insight, because, you know, I know we have all walks to listen to this show. Definitely stick around. George is about to cue up the video, because believe it or not, there are some people that have not seen what's going on or what happened and things like that. Like I said, guys, our hometown is not getting a lot of good pub. Right. But, again, we've got to do it. So, Rev, I appreciate you so much, boss. You're the man. Anyway, go ahead, kick it, George. This happened not too long ago.
See, that's how I know you still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me. I'm not worth your McDonald's money.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton.
Come on.
I ain't worth your Prada.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Gucci.
Come on, man.
You can buy a Movado watch in Sam.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my chief sons and daughters. I don't want to hear no more excuses about what y'all can't afford. You can't afford it because you don't see the value here. Y'all hear from y'all pastor and father, I'm over y'all.
Come on.
I'm over your cheap expression.
That's called Jesus pimping. He delivered his sermon in the spirit of a Chicago pimp. All he cares about is the money that he can get from the congregants who are looking to him for leadership. Pastor, what you did was disgusting.
Man.
I would not allow charlatans like you to define my faith. I hope your congregation realizes the man you really are now. The individual who spoke on that stage was adversarial to progress, growth, and spirituality. His name is Pastor, let's put his picture up, Pastor Carlton Funderburk of the Church at the Well in Kansas City, who reaction to the negative press has now issued an apology video. All right, so he apologized. I'm not going to play his apology video. You can look it up when you get a chance. I'm so sick and damn tired of these individuals manipulating congregations, manipulating good-hearted people that simply would like to be replenished and encouraged because of the stresses they face in the world. They get to a place like this. What does he do? He damages them even more. Talks down to them, tells them they're broke, busted, and disgusted. No, sir, you are morally bankrupt, calling yourself a preacher, and you have nothing to deliver.
Wow.
Listen, dude is funny. I'm sorry. That, it was funny. It was funny, but it was sad.
I would have laughed.
But I think that's what we talked about that.
Imagine visiting that church that day and him having that meltdown. Can you imagine how just devastating, like if you're already lost and you were maybe looking for a church home and someone had told you about this church and you were excited to be there, and then on that day he had that meltdown, he had that to say. You know, you're going to be like, I don't want to go to church at all. Like,
Hopefully.
Like, what would you say? What would you say to someone who is lost? Like, what if they came to your church next and they were lost and just devastated by what they had just experienced? How would you counsel them?
Well, this is the thing. When you're doing bad for a period of time, it's only a matter of time before things come to fruition, right? The whole situation with the former elder Robert, the 30-year-old, right, who killed his wife, they were only married 18 months. This is something that happened back in 2018, mind you, while this incident with this pastor just happened, this happens to be the pastor that did marry them. So there's like so much more to this whole thing with, like we say, the congregation, you know, because he was an elder, he was 30, he was only married 18 months. Pastor, founder Burke was the one that married them. Okay, and before you know it, all this happens, and then it comes out that Elder Robert had a little young lover boy that has recently come out to say, hey, look, you know, we were together. So people are messed up, and they themselves are trying to find a way. And then they come to churches, and they get these positions because they walk in a certain type of way while they're all jacked up. And then you get a pastor that goes, oh, I think Mimi Acosta would be great to do the Spanish, you know, get her in the Spanish section because she speaks Spanish, but they don't know that I'm all jacked up. Now I come to the church and I jack up all the kids in that little section because they put me in the section with the kids and she speaks Spanish so she can translate and all this stuff. So these are the things that are happening in the churches before you get, like, folks that actually went to school and this and that and all this other stuff and, you know, have done community service and all these things and have a great backing. You know, you just went ahead and you just threw somebody in there because they just came to your church and it's like, oh, okay, you know what, we can give him this position. But you don't know that he's messing around with young boys, you know, and doing craziness to his wife. And now his wife is trying to mask all this because, mind you, they had to have been boyfriend and girlfriends before they decided to get married. You know, so at some point you're going to know something ain't that, but guess what? I'm going to get married because it's going to fix something. And then you find out, oh, he's been messing around with boys. Now, this is what you don't know. You don't know how many other boys are going to come out from the church and say, hey, look, he did this to me too. He did that to me too, because that is the way that the cookie crumbles. You know, before you know it, everybody's coming out talking about what he then did to them. So this is not the end all for this. Hopefully it's not the end all for this church. You know, hopefully they can, you know, replace him and keep it moving, you know.
But is it the church or the people? Because, no, I hope it's not the end all for the congregation. The church in and of itself, maybe not so much, because I feel like birds of a feather in this particular situation. You're going to surround yourself with like-minded people, be that good, bad, or other. If you notice,
Roger, it's like
most
McDonald's.
They don't
move the building. They get rid of the people.
Right. And
you
so,
know?
Okay, so like Pastor was just talking about Penn State. Joe...
Yeah.
And all of those guys, they were all in cahoots together. It wasn't like, oh, he's doing it by himself and his assistant coaches didn't know. They knew. So the point being, I don't think any of us are surprised at what happened, because you're going to surround yourself with people that can cover and protect you no matter what your motive is. And so I do feel, like I said, I do feel like the congregation definitely are the victims here, not so much what these guys are doing, because once again, look how they're linked. The point that we're making is this happens all the time. Look at inside trading. Look at Ponzi schemes. Look at all these corporations where the top 2 or 3% all get busted because they're in it together.
Yeah.
So it's not just going to be, it's usually never singular, in my opinion. A fish stinks from the head down. So once you get to the top and you start to go down, there's going to be some trickle down. And so, yeah, I do think that the fallout came from, you know what, once one person gets the whistle blown, it's going to be a snowball effect, and here we are. So I would love for the people that really have need for this spiritual guidance and whatever, go where they're needed. Like I said, if we want to promote our brother that was on, Pastor, by all means do so, because in my opinion, he definitely seems to be the real article. He's walking the walk. He just has my respect for the fact that he's like, listen, I know I wasn't perfect, so why am I even here? But I don't question my calling. Right there, dog, you got me. High five, man. I mean, because most people are going to come off as, I'm over you. You can't touch me. I'm celestial. No, this man is saying, I'm an imperfect man, yet I was still given this position, and because I'm honored, I'm going to utilize it. That's respect. I don't care. I mean, the fact that he's doing this is great, but no matter what his position, I would respect that 100%. But Thunderbird and all them, get out of here, man. Get out of here. Again, they just need to go ahead. Listen, members, come on one half out of here. We're going to burn this joint down. I'm going to send all y'all somewhere where you can really get some help, because this over here, nah, bro. No.
Well,
so, yeah, that's
well, Pastor Kennedy is still with us, and I had a quick question for him. So,
okay.
Pastor, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, so my question to you is, if someone from that congregation happens to come to your church and they visit and they're just, you know, pretty traumatized after what they experienced, how would you handle that?
Well, I think that any time that you are counseling anybody, you know, it's just a matter of getting to the heart of what happened. Because I'm going to tell you something that I've heard, and for whatever reason, when I heard this before, I think I was just kind of blown away by the whole thing. But I heard something today that is actually worse than what people are talking about with that, in that everybody's talking about the money stuff and the going up by the watch and all of that. See, for me, I'm a pastor. Yes, I'm a people's father in the faith that are, you know, to whom I'm the under-shepherd. But that makes me the servant. You know, I believe that I'm supposed to give service to them. And when you think about leaders, the people that you really think of as good leaders, you think of the things that they do for you. He said, I'm your father. I'm over y'all. That was a thing. See, that is that. When I talked about that humility and the necessity of that, that's a thing. So
right.
That was the worst part of it. So these people that are coming hurt, it's just, they're, man, listen, church hurt, unfortunately, is something that all of us that in church, all of our lives experience, you know, and some of the worst things that have happened to me in my youth were things that happened in the church, you know, things that people said. And so it's, you know, it actually, to me, that little part is, that's the worst thing that happened to you in church, that he got up and said some stuff and you got out of there. Man, you are ahead of the game.
You're right.
Ahead of the game. Man, I had some adults that had positions in the church, positions in the city, you know, my mom used to say highfalutin folks, you know, that I looked up to and respected, had never said anything against, you know, and because they were talking about me because they said I sang too many solos. Man, listen, I'm just a kid doing what I'm told to do. I had never asked to sing a song, and so I got up there, and if people enjoyed it, you know, praise God, you know. But that was it. But these people came and said, you know, just hurtful stuff. That some of it, you know, it took me till I was well into my adulthood to forgive, you know. And so the church hurt is so commonplace that having to counsel people that have experienced that is actually nothing uncommon.
Didn't know that.
And yeah. I mean, you show me a person that's been in church 20 years and never experienced church hurt, please tell me where they went.
Right.
I need to go there and take some notes. Now, I will tell you this, though. As a pastor, I don't care if it's somebody that stole some money out of the bank account, or if it's somebody that hurt somebody, if it's under your auspices, as the head of it, whether you're the CEO, the pastor, you know, the executive director of a nonprofit, if you are the person that is at the top, your job is to make sure that the things that happen are happening correctly. And so it's a difference between somebody doing something that an individual occurrence, and that's bad. But if you have a systematic thing going on where people are doing things and people are continuously being hurt, then as the leader, it's your job to shut it down. And so whether you're talking about that pastor that said that thing or people that being victimized, listen, and when you said that about kids, man, you got my area there, because to me, don't mess with kids and don't mess with old folks. You know,
That's right.
Those of us in the middle, we can handle ourselves, but don't mess with
kids,
old folks.
That part.
You're making me pull my sword. I'm a peacekeeper, but I'm still a sword wielder. So,
yes,
exactly.
I'm gonna pull it to cut you.
Right.
Man.
I respect that, but you're right. The people that need protecting are the ones that we're the most concerned about, because like you just said, very eloquent, those of us in the middle, we're okay. We handle our own. But the defenseless are the ones that are in need, and those are the ones we should be protecting, yet and still those tend to be the ones that are taken advantage of, and that happens time and time again. So.
My little nieces or my grandkids, man, if you do something to one of them, I'm probably going to have to repent for what I'm going to do to you.
That's cool.
I'm not going to give you a stern talking to, that's for sure.
It's all about repenting. That's really what it is. You know what I'm saying? If you've done something wrong, you repent and you move forward. You know, so, it is what it is. Sometimes you got to put your foot down.
Is it cool to repent for what you're about to do? Because you know you're about to go left field on them. Is that cool too? Listen, Jesus,
yes.
I'm about to go left on this cat. So just hang in it. You know.
One thing that's never lost on me is that when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, a tree by the fruit it bears. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, these things you're supposed to be able to. You know, to act, these attributes you're supposed to have, let me say it like that. And so the last listed one is self-control. And so I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of times, man, when I want to say some stuff, I want to do some stuff, and it's like, okay. And I will tell you this, it does not feel good when you really, really, really want to do something and you have to have that self-control and you hold yourself. You know you did the right thing, but doing the right thing does not always feel good.
Oh, no, I appreciate you, brother.
I think with respect, you should still be able to do whatever it is that needs to be done so others will know that you're not the one to play with in a very respectful manner.
You mean like, and we can go biblical with that. So you mean like, you know, you come and grab my guy, I pull my sword and cut off your ear like Peter did when they came and grabbed Jesus. You mean like that? Yeah.
This is the thing. I think because times are different, we have to roll with the times, because I can't go that far into the Bible to say that, or else there'll be a whole lot of murdering going on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen. But you know what? I appreciate the human element, because when you get to that point where you're starting to tell someone that you're in a different realm or above them,
mm-hmm.
again, that is how you keep some people in control, but there's always going to be a couple of, sheep that stray and things like that. But see, like you were talking about, humility did not exist with that guy. I mean, there was arrogance every
mm-hmm.
which way, and that wasn't the time or place for it, you know, berating and things like that. But listen, everybody's not meant to lead, and that's what people don't understand.
That's why you have
hundreds of foot soldiers for every general. Everybody's not meant to lead. And some people learn that, you know, the hard way, you know. Some positions are earned, some are inherited. So there's that. But, you don't have to worry about me visiting, so it's cool. Like I said, you know, if I see my man's church, sorry, not sorry, might throw a rock or two, but but big ups to you.
I wouldn't want to go over there as a pastor. I wouldn't want to go someplace where you don't have that, because, you know what, the greatest thing that that I saw that, that if I think about one thing that I did that that was a good thing, man, I was preaching Sunday at a friend's church, and so God had given me some things that really were things that caused you to look at yourself. And I said today, I said there's a thing that pastors say a lot, or preachers say a lot, that the message starts with the messenger. You know, I said this is not a cliche today. It's just not. And so I said, so whichever one of you guys is going to be doing an altar call, I can't do it today because when I get through, I'm going to be at the altar. I'm going to be the first partaker. And so when I was wrapping up, I was going down the aisle. And I said, now when I turn around, I'm going to the altar, you know. And I said, so when you, if you're going to follow me as I follow Christ, you can follow close behind because I need this word today. And so, man, I went and I got at the altar. But you know what? It was a time where there were most of the people there were pastors and prophets and, you know, them and their wives. Or you know, the thing was 75% of the people in the church came to the altar after that. Because it wasn't a thing where I'm like, you know, hey, man, I have overcome. I am this great. No, man, this is something that is hitting home. And so I need, and so God gave it to me. I gave it to them. And then I went, and I was the first partaker. And then the other people came. That is, if I got to do some leadership, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to.
But yeah, you led by example. That's the great thing about it. You led by example and showed your human side. That's exactly what I think. If you think about it as a child, a lot of times we think, okay, my parents know everything. They do nothing wrong. And you feel like I cannot follow in those footsteps. It's not about trying to keep yourself so far apart no one can do anything. You show them the human element to you, even though you are still their spiritual leader. And I'm pretty sure that garnered far more respect than anything else because they were like, wow, if it's more or less if it's good enough for him, it better be good enough for me. So once again, your human element is, I don't want to call it your selling point, but it's definitely what gives you, you know, your advantage and credibility and things like that. That's 100% dope, man. I'm just saying, I love that part of it. You know, it is.
I appreciate you saying.
So, yeah, absolutely, man. So yeah, you
well,
know, Crystal
will
be there to visit.
I'm gonna go now and take care of the wife. I'm listening to you guys off the air. I really appreciate you. You know,
we appreciate you.
What you guys are coming with tonight. So God bless you guys, and I will continue listening.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Have a great one. Have a great one.
Ooh,
hey,
all
you heathens need prayer. All y'all.
You need prayer too, sir.
Hey, you know what?
Okay.
That's dope. I didn't know what to expect, but I dig that. I dig the human element and things
awesome
like that. He wasn't trying. He wasn't trying to reprimand. He wasn't trying to, you know, redirect our thought process. He was like, listen, you know, it basically is like saying, listen, good cops and bad cops, good teachers, bad teachers, good coaches, bad coaches. So I, you know what, I can deal with that any day of the week because that's a human man. Who's not trying to use his position to not be human. I just, as y'all can tell, I respect the hell out of that. I do. I really do.
Yeah, of course.
That's cool. Y'all all still need Jesus, so I ain't going to front on that. So all you heathens.
Well, good to know that you're a part of the bunch.
That part.
Exactly. That part. Oh my God.
Acknowledge mine. I'm good.
Deep conversation. I love it.
I acknowledge mine. Yeah, that's what's up though. So yeah. Yeah, we got a few
we
minutes
know
left. So like
deep tonight. It's not like we didn't know it was gonna be deep. I know.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
So yeah, definitely. I respect it. Love it.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, shoot. I mean, people need to hear that because people thinking what we're saying and thinking. So like sometimes you give a voice to people that are like, I wish people knew. Or you know, like Chris was saying about, you know, what if somebody is lost and decides to, you know, okay, maybe I'm all the way done, or maybe I'm going to give it one more try. How do you encourage that, you know, without taking away someone's choice? I mean, that can be said about a lot of things.
Right.
It really can, you know. So,
exactly.
I got some fun stuff for next week, but I'm going to save it just because I love stirring the pot. But hey, so real quick, did I mention the all-black American Airlines allowed an all-black female flight crew to make a flight? It was a historic, monumental flight. I can't believe I missed that. So they literally had all female, all black pilots, co-pilot, flight attendants, everybody. Mm. I want to say baggage handlers. They set this whole thing up, and it was American Airlines, which is surprising. But big ups to y'all, AA, and for that one. And I think it may have been coming from New York, something like that. Don't quote me. Look it up. But yeah, it was a big, big deal. All black, all female flight crew made the flight. Did everything. I don't know. It was super dope, super dope. So look that up when you guys get a chance. See, a little bit. You know. I know I talk bad to y'all a lot of time. It ain't 'cause I don't love you. It's a little black girl magic. But just get y'all damn attitudes and likes right. But I love you.
Hey.
It was dope though. It was cool. When I started, I was like, dang. I might have been trying to peek in the cockpit and be like, hey, you know, see if the pilot got a, you know, a little rumpus on it, whatever. Y'all know me. I'd be like, hey, I need another drink back here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool. It was cool. So check it out, folks. Check it out. So, yeah. That's about it. You got it, G?
Got it.
Check it out.
Yep.
I should have known. Let me see it. Check this out.
Uh-oh. And mind y'all, because we got 3 minutes.
I am now $14,421 in credit card debt. Luckily, my ukulele instructor, Craig, told me about the Tally app. Tally gave me a low-interest line of credit to pay off my high-interest credit card. So I'm getting out of debt faster. Get out of debt up to 2 times faster with Tally.
Finally, tonight, we take an historic flight to honor a woman who left a trailblazing legacy in the sky. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
This American Airlines ground crew is prepping Flight 372 for a trip into the history books. It's the first time in the airline's 96 years everyone involved, from the ramp to the gate.
We are honored to have you on board.
In the cockpit and in the cabin are all black women. The flight celebrates the 100th anniversary of Bessie Coleman, the first African-American woman to earn a pilot's license. Coleman had to learn to fly in France because it wasn't an option here in the U.S. Her great-niece Gigi was on the celebration flight.
Well, my great-aunt received her license 2 years before Amelia Earhart. She wasn't in the history books. No one knew about her.
She runs the Bessie Coleman Aviation All-Stars, an after-school program aimed at inspiring kids, especially young people of color, to take flight.
Now, I've never had an all-black female flight crew in my entire career.
There are fewer than 150 black women airline pilots in the U.S. Captain Beth Powell is one of them.
Representation is so important today because when you see someone in yourself, you know it's possible. I can do this too.
Sharing the story of Bessie Coleman in hopes of inspiring the pilots of tomorrow. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Phoenix.
Yes. Boom. Love it.
Oh, that was awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Yay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
I don't get emotional, but if I saw that, I might be like, you know what? That's kind of cool, yo. But that's crazy. Wow, right? For real. I'd be tripping out.
That's so cool.
But hopefully. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a history for folks. See there?
Yeah.
Old man. Yeah. I don't know, though, because, you know how I feel about some people's driving on the ground, so. Make a left. I ain't going to act right. I will not.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was
well,
cool.
Well, so, yeah. It's that time.
It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. The show tonight was amazing, but sadly, it's come to an end. Our time is done, so everyone say your goodbye, and I will bring up the rear. So go ahead.
So one love, God bless, and see you guys next week.
CB, talking about bringing up the rear, you're an ass lady now. Okay, I didn't even know nothing about that. Anyway, take care of yourselves. I'm out. Be cool.
Roger, go to timeout. We're going to go Roger and timeout.
All right.
Peace.
All right. Kid.
Love. And hair grease.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator, giving you music, motivation, conversation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. And hopefully you had that tonight. I want to thank once again Pastor Kendrick Breckenridge for calling in and giving his insight on our topic tonight, which was about pastors wilding out. So hopefully everyone enjoyed the show tonight, and we will be back next week where our guest will be Brittany Williams, and you don't want to miss it. She's a CEO. She is doing her thing, and she's got some amazing insights to share. So you don't want to miss that next week. So we will see you next week. And so to take us home, since we were talking about church and stuff, it just seems fitting to have a nice gospel song to take us out of here. So here's Mary, okay. Mary, and Shaq. Everybody, great dance.
Hey,
my cousin's dancing. A tiny little shout out
to Trey Hampton, iCredit Management, and K Breck Zone for tapping in tonight.
What up, fam?
Okay.
Mm. Let's go.
That's the joint, though.
Show is hot out here. No, I don't mind, though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
My mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. Cause you see, I have been down for so long, but like all hope is gone. But as I lift my hands, I understand that I should raise it to my time. So much pressure fell on me.